Appreciate Jim leading that song this morning, Footsteps of Jesus, because it is going to be the focus of our thoughts today. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 and listen to what Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said about walking in the footprints of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. He said, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." What a wonderful thought this is, that Christ has left us an example. When we think about what an example is, it's something to be followed or to be imitated. And Christ, then, is the one who has lived this life in such a way so that we can look to Him and follow Him in all that we do. The metaphor, walking in His steps, doesn't, of course, literally mean that we find Jesus' physical footprints and put our feet in those footprints, literally, but that instead we are following His example. And that's what this metaphor is about. And this song that we have just sung, Footprints of Jesus, it was written by Mary B. Slade in 1871, and the music was composed by Asa B. Everett. And the song reflects upon several aspects of what it means to follow Jesus. And so this morning I would like for us to think about this song. I'd like for us to think about, number one, the footprints of Jesus lead us to hearing Jesus. Number two, the footprints of Jesus lead us to helping Jesus. And number three, the footprints of Jesus lead us to heaven with Jesus. And as we think about these three points, and even a fourth one, the heels of Jesus that we're going to think about as well, we will understand a few things about this song, I hope, as it relates to what the Scriptures teach, because that's what we're interested in. So let's think about hearing Jesus for just a few moments. The footprints of Jesus lead us to hearing Jesus. That first stanza in this song says, "Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come follow me. And we see where Thy footprints falling lead us to Thee." Think about the words and the message in this particular stanza about hearing Jesus, hearing His calling, and that He is calling us to Him. You know, Jesus calls us, and He wants us to hear with a view toward obedience. When we think about the parable of the two builders, in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 through 27, a lot of times we sing that song to our children in Bible class. The wise man built his house upon the rock, right? And then the foolish man built his house upon the sand. But what was the lesson that Jesus wanted us to learn from this parable? Well, it is summarized for us in Matthew 7 and verse 24 and verse 26. When Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." And so what Jesus was talking about here was hearing with a view toward obedience. A lot of times people will hear Jesus' call, but then they will not follow. Walking in the footprints of Jesus means that we're going to hear and we're going to follow. And there are no excuses that are accepted. Status, a lot of times, is used as an excuse. Someone might say, "Well, if I follow Jesus, then I would lose my status, my place in society. I wouldn't be as respected as much, or I wouldn't have the influence that I have right now." But status is no excuse. This is from Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus said there to a certain scribe who came to him. A scribe was a man who was knowledgeable in the law, and he was a high person in the affairs of the Jewish state in that particular day and time. And the scribe said, "This teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And look at Jesus' response to this man of status. He said, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Do you see that? Do you see how Jesus is saying status is no excuse not to follow me? Yes, even if it means giving up everything that we have, we need to follow Jesus. Family is no excuse. In the same context there, in Matthew chapter 8, in the middle of the chapter, another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead." And again, what Jesus is saying here is that you can't use your family as an excuse not to follow me. Person's job is no excuse not to follow Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, it says, "As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office." Why, he was at work when Jesus encountered him. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him just like that. Work is no excuse not to follow Jesus. And so when Jesus says to hear and to obey, it is incumbent upon us to do just that. We need to hear with a view toward obedience. Following in the steps of Jesus means, first of all, that we are going to hear Jesus. But then, secondly, following in the steps of Jesus means that we are going to help Jesus. When we think about helping Jesus, we can think about many things. But look at what the song says. It says, "Though they lead," that is the steps of Jesus, "though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountains, seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains, helping the weak." Now think about these efforts of evangelism and benevolence that Jesus wants us to be involved in. The cold, dark mountains seeking his sheep has reference to the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15 and verses 4 through 7. And there Jesus said, "Which one among you who has a one out of 99 who's lost would not go after him and seek that sheep that's gone astray?" Of course, Jesus wasn't talking about literal sheep. He was talking about seeking the lost, those who need to be brought back to the fold. And he said, when that happens, there is much rejoicing that takes place in heaven amongst the angels of God. And so seeking his sheep is an area where we can follow Jesus. Helping the weak. The pool of Siloam was a place where many went to be healed. In fact, Jesus told the blind man in John 9 in verses 1 through 7, he said to him, "Go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam." And he went, and when he had washed, he could see. And that's the reference to the pool of Siloam there, as it is referenced in the song, "By Siloam's Fountains, Helping the Weak." Jesus was concerned about all people, and he wanted to make sure that he helped those who were in need. And as he had opportunity, he did just that. When we think about helping Jesus, we see additionally another stanza of this song talks about encouragement and service. If they lead, that is these footsteps of Jesus, if they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in the homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. There are other areas in which we can help Jesus, areas of encouragement, areas of service to God. Think about the encouragement that the church in the first century received from the apostles and prophets and Christians. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42 says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." For the Christian, Encouragement comes from hearing about Jesus, hearing about His life, hearing about His message, hearing about His example, and following in His steps. And certainly we can encourage one another when we teach and preach about Jesus. But it also includes serving one another. In Acts 2 and verses 44 through 45, we read, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." And the attitude among the brethren there was, if you have need of something, I am going to supply it for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to serve you. I am not in love with my things more than I am in love with you as a fellow Christian and brother or sister in Christ. And so they gave up those things to serve one another. Serving the Lord in the homes of the poor and lowly. And that is something that we ought to do as well when we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. But then, following in the footsteps of Jesus, this is the other point that I wanted to add here to this lesson. Following in the footprints of Jesus means following in the hill to the hills of Jesus. And these points don't come from our songbooks per se, but from the original poem that was written. And there are some additional stanzas in this poem that I thought were real good that we need to think about. They're not included in our songbook, but look at this next stanza here. "Though, dear Lord, in thy pathway keeping, we follow thee through the gloom of that place of weeping, Gethsemane." Gethsemane was a garden that was on the Mount of Olives that Jesus went to pray before he was crucified. When we think about Gethsemane, it was the place where Jesus sweat those great drops of blood, Luke 22 and verse 44. And it was where Jesus prayed this prayer, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to follow Him to that hill of Gethsemane where He prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to follow Him to that hillside of Calvary or Golgotha. Notice the next stanza in this song. "If thy way and its sorrows bearing, we go again, up the slope of the hillside bearing our cross of pain." That hillside that Jesus went up was the place where He was crucified. And we need to follow Jesus even there. Does that mean that we are going to be crucified on a cross like Jesus was? Not literally. But spiritually, we are to crucify the old man of sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, "Our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." And Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." And so following Jesus, following in His footsteps, means that we go to that hill of Calvary. And there we also put to death the old man of sin. And we die daily, as Paul said, putting away the sin that is in our life and living for Jesus each and every day. And then following in the steps of Jesus means heaven with Jesus. And when we think about this point, you know, we have in the song this final stanza that we sang earlier. "By and by, through the shining portals, turning our feet, we shall walk with the glad immortals, heaven's golden street." You know, heaven is the goal for all Christians. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we think about where our final home is, it's not here upon the earth. Our citizenship isn't in New Boston, Texas. Our citizenship is not in the state of Texas. Our citizenship is not in the United States of America. And we're not even citizens of the world, as the world thinks about that term sometimes. But we are citizens of heaven. And as Christians, that is ultimately where we want to be. Not in this earth, but in God's heavenly kingdom. Think about what Paul said in Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verses 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. There is where our hope lies. And this song also reminds us that one day we hope to be in heaven with Jesus. Now here's another stanza that's not included in our songbook, but is certainly worthy of consideration. Look at this. Then at last, when on high He sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at His throne. And ultimately, that's where we want to be, with God and Jesus eternally in heaven. Think about this quotation from Revelation chapter 5. It says, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Notice that the steps of Jesus end at His throne. They end with us reigning with Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're part of the royal family. We're brothers and sisters with Jesus. And that means we're children of God the Father. And whether you think of God the Father being the King or Jesus being the King, either way, we are members of the royal family. That's where our journey will end, at the throne of Jesus Christ. And one day, gathering there, will be a wonderful day. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4 says this, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And that's what those who walk with Jesus, who walk in the footsteps of Jesus, have to look forward to when this life is over. The footsteps of Jesus lead us to these four things that we've discussed this morning that come from this wonderful song that we sing from time to time. Number one, they lead us to hearing Jesus. We've heard His call, and we want to follow that call with a view toward obedience. Don't be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, but be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. He heard and he obeyed. Secondly, the footsteps of Jesus lead us to helping Jesus, whether it's in areas of evangelism or benevolence, whether it is in areas of service to one another or areas of preaching and teaching. There is something that everyone can do to help Jesus. And when we walk in the steps of Jesus, we're going to help Jesus. The footsteps of Jesus lead us then to the hills of Jesus. The hill of the Mount of Olives, where Jesus was in Gethsemane and He prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." That should be the attitude of every single Christian as we also pray that same prayer to the Father. The hills of Jesus also lead us then to the hill of Golgotha where Jesus was crucified and reminds us to put to death the old man of sin and live for Jesus each and every day. And then the footsteps of Jesus lead us to heaven with Jesus, where we can receive that wonderful inheritance that God has prepared for us and be with God and Christ forever in eternity in fellowship and in blessing where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, and no more crying. Would you follow in the steps of Jesus today? You know, one of the things that you can do to follow in the steps of Jesus that we discussed this morning was to hear with a view toward obedience. And that's the first thing that needs to be done in order to join Jesus in heaven one day, to walk in His steps, to hear His word and believe it, and be obedient to it. You know, to be obedient to Jesus, we've got to crucify that old man of sin, and that means repenting of our sins. It means confessing that I'm no longer the master of my own destiny, but Jesus is. And I confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and follow Him. And then I've got to put to death that old man of sin. And Romans chapter 6 tells me exactly how to do that. It tells me how to follow Jesus to that hill of Calvary. Listen to these verses. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. There's how we then follow Jesus to Calvary. By putting to death the old man of sin, being baptized in the likeness of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, and being raised then to walk in a new life. Perhaps this morning, that's what you need to do to follow Jesus. Hear His word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and in so doing, you can walk in the steps of Jesus to that hill of Calvary and have the hope of heaven ingrained on your mind from then forevermore. Oh yes, let's walk with Jesus each and every day, whether it's to become a child of God or to remain a child of God. We need to walk in the steps of Jesus. I so appreciate this good song. And this morning, if there's anyone who would like to respond to the message of Jesus, to come to Him, to hear Him and obey Him, we stand willing and ready to help you. Maybe you need the prayers of the church today for some problem in your life that you've been struggling with. Now is a convenient time to ask for those prayers, or maybe you'd like to be baptized this morning to become a child of God. Whatever your need may be, you can come now and make that need known while together we stand and while we sing.